Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Queen's Law Pro Bono Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Luna Abood, and I'm a second-year student at Queen's University Faculty of Law. Queen's Pro Bono Radio discusses interesting and off-center legal topics that aim to make legal discussions more accessible to you, the general public. We strive to stimulate interest and provide information while always being entertaining. Have you ever bought something online, thinking you knew the price, only to be hit with extra fees at checkout? Maybe it was a concert ticket, a hotel booking, or even a simple movie ticket. That feeling, that moment when you realize you're paying more than you expected, is at the heart of today's discussion. Today, we're diving into the Competition Tribunal's recent decision against Cineplex for drip pricing and deceptive marketing. This case is especially significant because the drip pricing provisions enacted in 2022 came as a matter of first impression before the Competition Tribunal in this case. To really understand the tribunal's decision against Cineplex, we're going to unpack first, what is competition law in Canada and what are its objectives? Second, what exactly is drip pricing and deceptive marketing, and how are they defined by the Competition Act? Third, what are the facts that gave rise to the Commissioner's claim that Cineplex is in violation of the Competition Act? Fourth, why did the tribunal decide against Cineplex? And fifth, what could this mean for other Canadian companies and consumers moving forward? Let's get right into it. Competition law in Canada, as outlined in the Competition Act, is designed to maintain and encourage fair competition in the marketplace. It aims to promote efficiency and innovation in the economy, prevent anti-competitive practices like deceptive marketing and monopolistic behavior, and make sure that consumers benefit from competitive prices and product choices. Competition law is intended to protect both consumers and businesses. Premier Career Management Group Corp is a case that dealt with deceptive marketing practices, but their discussion of the focus of competition law is relevant to our discussion generally. In Premier Career Management, the Federal Court of Appeal noted that where misinformation is spread to make consumers more likely to purchase lower quality products from one company over the higher quality products of an honest company, this incentivizes businesses to be deceptive. If this behavior is not regulated, honest businesses who do not engage in deception would be at a disadvantage against dishonest companies. So, I think the goal of competition law in Canada is twofold. By creating and promoting competitive marketplaces, consumers benefit from having variety of choice, and honest businesses are protected against the deceptive and anti-competitive behavior of other businesses. The law is enforced by the Competition Bureau and is interpreted by the Competition Tribunal. So, what exactly is drip pricing and deceptive marketing? Drip pricing under Rule 7401, Subsection 1.1 in the Competition Act is a recent amendment that was made in 2022, and it falls under the Deceptive Marketing Practices provisions. This rule concerns reviewable matters, which means that anything listed under this rule as reviewable is a civil offense for which the Competition Bureau may bring a claim against the offending party in the Competition Tribunal. The Commissioner of Competition brought this claim against Cineplex, alleging that Cineplex has engaged in deceptive marketing by making false or misleading representations to the public, which is reviewable under the Competition Act. The Commissioner also alleged that Cineplex engaged in drip pricing under the Act. Under Rule 7401, Paragraph 1A, it is misleading advertising if a company promotes a product or business in any way by making a false or misleading claim that is important to consumers. The drip pricing rule makes it clear that advertising a price that consumers can't actually pay because of mandatory extra fees is considered false or misleading. The only exception is if the extra fees are government imposed. Drip pricing is the act of displaying or representing a price, but later in the purchase process, there are fees that are both fixed and mandatory that become revealed, but these fees were not originally included in the purchase price. Therefore, the commissioner is alleging that Cineplex has deceptively marketed products by making false or misleading representations to the public because they represented a price that is not attainable due to the fixed obligatory charges or fees. I think now is a good time to get into the details of what exactly Cineplex has done to warrant the commissioner's claims that they have misled the public and charged unattainable fees. Let's return to our example earlier of browsing online, getting ready to make a purchase for price you've already accepted you're willing to pay, but then when you get to checkout, suddenly the price jumps. There's an extra online booking fee added at the last step. This is precisely what gave rise to the action against Cineplex. Cineplex is one of Canada's largest movie theater chains, and I have to admit, I love going to the Cineplex theaters, getting some popcorn, a Diet Coke, and tuning into a good movie. I'd even usually buy my tickets online beforehand just to reserve my spot. However, in June of 2022, Cineplex introduced an online booking fee for customers purchasing tickets on the Cineplex website or the app. The booking fee was $1.50 for most customers except Scene Plus and CineClub members. Scene Club members were charged only $1 for the booking fee, and CineClub members had the online booking fee waived altogether. The existence of the booking fee itself is not at issue here. What is at issue is the transparency about the booking fee and the means through which customers would become aware of the booking fee. See, as the customer, you'd go onto the Cineplex website or the app, which you must be logged into to purchase a ticket. You'd be shown the price of a ticket, let's say it's $10, and you decide on the quantity of tickets you want to purchase for that price. After you've chosen how many tickets you'd like to buy, what the tribunal calls a floating ribbon pops up at the bottom of the screen with a subtotal. This floating ribbon has the word proceed written across the screen, urging you to carry on with the purchasing process. However, and this is where things get a little sticky, the subtotal provided in the floating ribbon will include the booking fee without having explicitly told you that it's been included. So, while you've added a $10 movie ticket to your cart, the subtotal on the floating ribbon will say $11.50, for example. The tribunal found as fact that the floating ribbon did not tell the consumer that the price in the floating ribbon reflects the total cost of the movie tickets and the online booking fees. The tribunal determined that customers have to notice for themselves that the price in the floating ribbon is not just the price of the movie ticket multiplied by however many tickets you've put in your cart. The customer must, by doing what the tribunal calls mental math, realize on their own that the price in the floating ribbon includes the online booking fee because it's not disclosed. But the booking fee is not entirely hidden from customers. Customers could click a small blue and circled I at the top right of the page, which was part of an advertisement to join the CineClub and become a member. In this little blue and circled I is where information about the booking fees can be found. Additionally, customers could scroll down to the bottom of the page and see the price breakdown there. However, the tribunal emphasizes that scrolling down to the bottom of the page to see the price breakdown was not required to complete the purchase. Therefore, the customer could add the movie tickets to their cart and click the Proceed button without being required to scroll down and be made aware of the online booking fee. So, Why did the tribunal eventually find against Cineplex? The tribunal extensively discusses the concept of the average consumer before even dealing with whether Cineplex has in fact violated the deceptive marketing provisions of the Competition Act. It's critical to identify who is considered an average consumer because the purpose of the deceptive marketing provisions is to focus on the consumer and to ensure properly functioning marketplaces that are free of false or misleading representations. The deceptive marketing provisions are for the benefit of consumers and to encourage honest competition based on price and quality. This is what ultimately makes an economy healthily competitive. Identifying the ordinary consumer is also important because it'll determine how a typical person perceives a company's pricing practices. So, the tribunal, after a long discussion of preceding case law, determined that the ordinary consumer is not someone highly trained or a legal expert. The ordinary consumer is someone that will pay attention to pricing, but is not taking a microscope to every pricing detail. The ordinary consumer is also not thinking about the legality of disclosing fees and is not assuming that there has been a hidden fee. Finally, ordinary consumers might not even click on any extra signals or icons that may alert them to additional information. Now that we've established the baseline for who the average consumer is, that is coming across the Cineplex ticket page on the website or the app, we can discuss what the tribunal determined the general impression of the ordinary consumer is of the ticket purchase page. The tribunal notes that in order to proceed under Rule 7401, subsection 74(3), paragraph 5, this requires that they take into account both the literal meaning of the representation that's been made, in this case, about the price of the ticket versus the subtotal, and the general impression that the ordinary consumer would have about the representation. One of Cineplex's central arguments is that the ticket price shown on the website or the app prior to adding the booking fee is the price of a ticket that is bought in the theater only. Essentially, Cineplex is saying that our example of a $10 movie ticket that you would see listed on the website is a price only applicable to tickets that are bought offline. In determining the general impression, the tribunal assessed the existing factors and ultimately decided that the ordinary consumer would believe that the ticket price, as shown before the booking fee, is the whole and complete price of that ticket. This is in part because the floating ribbon does not disclose the booking fee, and the tribunal made especially significant note of the fact that the ordinary consumer is not likely to do the mental math of determining the difference between the listed ticket price and the subtotal on the floating ribbon. The tribunal relied on the evidence of the commissioner's expert witness to determine that consumers will scroll down on a page if given a reason to do so, and that to the ordinary consumer, there was no obvious reason to scroll down to see the online booking fee information on Cineplex's website and app pages. Furthermore, the tribunal rejected Cineplex's argument that the prices listed online for movie tickets represent the price customers would pay if they purchased their tickets at the theater. The tribunal emphasized that the ordinary consumer would perceive the online price for the movie tickets as being the price of a movie ticket without any qualifier about where the ticket was purchased. In other words, the ordinary consumer would expect that the price of a movie ticket would be the same, regardless of whether they purchased online or in theaters. If you recall the definition of drip pricing earlier, it's defined as making a representation of a price, but that price is not actually attainable because there's fixed obligatory charges or fees. In determining that Cineplex has engaged in deceptive marketing by drip pricing, the tribunal assessed each element of the test. The tribunal first determined if the online booking fee was a fixed charge. Then, the tribunal assessed whether the fixed charge is obligatory. Thirdly, the tribunal would then determine whether the fixed obligatory charge or fee is attainable or not. Then, the tribunal will conclude on whether the fee is a false or misleading representation. Finally, to make out the offense under Section 7401, paragraph 1A of the Competition Act, the tribunal asks if the representations are false or misleading in a material respect. Is the online booking fee a fixed charge? The tribunal decided that yes, the online booking fee is a fixed charge. Cineplex argues that there are different tiers for the booking fee, and it's not fixed because it varies between general customers, Scene Plus members, and CineClub members. However, the tribunal rejects this argument. This is because, in order to purchase the movie tickets online, customers must log in to their Cineplex account, which would then identify which type of account they hold. And by the time a customer selects their tickets and the floating ribbon subtotal pops up, the subtotal will already contain the booking fee for that client and their account type. The tribunal explicitly states that just because some customers pay different predetermined online booking fees, it does not change the fact that the fee is fixed for each customer and the type of customer. For example, if you are a Scene Plus member and you log into your account to purchase a movie ticket, the online booking fee for Scene Plus members is only $1 rather than $1.50 for general customers. So, although the online booking fee price for Scene Plus members is different to general customers, it does not change the fact that the online booking fee amount is predetermined and fixed for your account type. So, then, is the online booking fee obligatory in addition to being fixed? Cineplex argues that the fee is not obligatory because customers can abandon their decision to purchase movie tickets online and go purchase their tickets in the theater. The tribunal rejects this argument and decides that the online booking fee is obligatory. Even if we accept Cineplex's argument that customers have a meaningful choice, the tribunal emphasizes that Cineplex's website and app did not inform customers of the difference between an online price and an in-theater price. There is no evidence that customers were told that the ticket price is only available to them if they stop the online purchasing process and proceed to the theater and buy their tickets there. The tribunal states that the question is not whether customers have a choice between purchasing online or in theater to avoid the online booking fee. The real question is whether a customer purchasing online can complete their purchase without being subjected to the online booking fee. The answer, of course, is no for everybody that is not a Scene Club member. So then, is the represented movie ticket price not available in addition to being fixed and obligatory? The tribunal found as fact that Cineplex priced their movie tickets to be the same as the price of a movie ticket bought in the theater. So, if the cost of a movie ticket was $10 in the theater, the price listed online is also $10, using our example of a $10 movie ticket. The tribunal determined the online movie ticket price is not attainable because neither the literal meaning nor the general impression that consumers would have of the price representation would suggest that that price is only applicable in theaters. What's more, the tribunal reasoned that prices Cineplex displayed on the website and the app are represented as the price consumers must pay to buy a movie ticket in the same place that they would have seen the representation, meaning the website or the app. The tribunal determined that the Cineplex website and the app do not indicate at all that there are price differences between buying in theaters versus buying online. So, our example of a $10 movie ticket cannot actually be purchased for $10 and is therefore an unattainable price because the online booking fee adds obligatory fixed charges. So, are the representations also false and misleading in a material respect under 7401, paragraph 1A? The commissioner argues that price representations are always material because prices always affect the decision to purchase. Although the tribunal is reluctant to agree with the commissioner's position about materiality being a hard and fast rule for price representations, the tribunal does state that it is often the case that price will influence the purchasing decision and that this is the case here. The tribunal emphasized the fact that an ordinary consumer can make it through the entire purchase process, from selecting the kind and amount of tickets to payment and receipt of payment, all without ever being aware of the online booking fee and without knowing that they paid more than the listed ticket price. The tribunal explicitly mentions that Cineplex knew that the fee was, practically speaking, a price increase. Cineplex had even presented evidence of a study conducted months before the booking fee was implemented that showed that an increase in the base price of the movie tickets by $1 to $2 was a material increase to consumers. Another expert witness for the commissioner testified that dividing the price into a base movie ticket price and a separate online booking fee instead of a combined standard base price increase made consumers more likely to purchase movie tickets online. The tribunal accepted this evidence. The tribunal found that since implementing the online booking fee, Cineplex was paid just shy of $40 million by moviegoers. The Commissioner of Competition argued in favor of refunding customers their money instead of an administrative monetary penalty, an AMP, which is a fine imposed by the tribunal. An important distinction is that refunds and AMPs are not tools for meting out punishments to bad companies, and the amount ordered to be paid is directly related to the amount Cineplex would have received through its strip pricing conduct. Whatever order the tribunal makes, it should be based on achieving the objectives of the Competition Act and the specific provisions in question, such as strip pricing and deceptive marketing. Cineplex did make submissions that they thought a fine of $500,000 would be sufficient because by buying movie tickets online, customers received the benefit of choosing seats and reserving them. However, this was not convincing to the tribunal. It didn't matter that the customers received something of value for paying the online booking fee, and just because they were provided with something of value does not cancel out Cineplex's reviewable conduct. The tribunal ultimately decided that even if the customer receives the product or service that they paid for, that should not prevent giving a remedy if the customer paid more than the price represented to them. The tribunal declined the commissioner's submission for a refund because it's simply not practical, and the administrative costs of figuring out how to distribute the money may outweigh the benefits. Ultimately, the tribunal decided on an AMP, and Cineplex was ordered to pay all of the money that they received from their online booking fee, which totaled to $38.9 million. According to CBC News, Cineplex plans to appeal the decision by the tribunal. Cineplex denies that the online booking fee was not clear or transparent. So, what does all of this mean for Canadian businesses and consumers? The Commissioner of Competition called the outcome of this case a resounding win for Canadians because it sends a very clear message to businesses that drip pricing is not tolerated. Businesses are now explicitly expected to display their full prices up front. Because this was the first ever case to deal with the recently enacted drip pricing provisions, the tribunal's decision will have important implications for Canadian competition law. At the moment, The message that the Competition Tribunal has given with their decision is that they intend to continue protecting the interests of consumers against drip pricing and will hold businesses engaging in this practice accountable. If you're a consumer, you might think favorably of this decision and may feel confident that the Competition Tribunal is looking out for your interests. This ruling signals stronger protections against drip pricing, ensuring that companies have to disclose the full cost of a product or service upfront, rather than adding hidden fees later in the purchasing process. This could lead to more tr pricing transparency across different industries, including airlines, hotels, online retailers, and ticketing platforms, making it easier for Canadians to compare prices and make informed purchasing decisions. If you're a business operating in Canada, this might pose new burdens. For businesses, the decision serves as a clear warning that the tribunal is willing to hold companies accountable for pricing strategies that mislead the ordinary consumer. Companies that engage in similar practices may face legal challenges, reputational damage, and potential financial penalties if they do not comply with fair and transparent advertising standards. Ultimately, this case reinforces that competition law in Canada is evolving to better protect consumers in the digital economy, where hidden fees are becoming increasingly common. Before I end the show, I would like to say that the views expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of the producers, host, or the Queen's University Faculty of Law. This podcast does not contain any legal advice. Pro Bono Students Canada is a student organization. This podcast was prepared with the assistance of PBSC Queen's Law student volunteers. PBSC students are not lawyers, and they are not authorized to provide legal advice. This podcast contains general discussion of certain legal and related issues only. If you require legal advice, please consult with a lawyer. Thank you so much for listening. Today's show was produced by Luna Aboud. I'm your host, Luna, and if you liked this discussion, please be sure to check out more on the Queen's Pro Bono Radio website.